Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Sunday, October 20th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me, and a very, very interesting show for you today. This show is labeled explicit for the first time in the WWE podcast history. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and this is the first time I'm labeling it as explicit. And not that we purposely drop F-bombs to drop F-bombs. I never like to do it, and actually we don't drop those bombs, but there are the words that are explicit worthy that are dropped in this show. And so just FYI, this show, especially towards the end of the show, may not be kid friendly. So guys and gals in your minivans or cars or home speakers that you're listening to this show on, you may want to put the headphones on for this one if you don't want your kids listening to any kind of profanity. So I like to say that up front so nobody is surprised or turned off by the show. I want to put that out front. And this is not a show that I am trying to garner attention on from cursing. I actually pride myself on being a PG show. I think it draws in more of an audience. WWE's PG, so why wouldn't this show be PG? Lots of shows out there, lots of podcasts out there that like to cuss just to cuss and think it's cool, or try to draw in negativity or people that enjoy that kind of language, and that's fine, but that's not the audience I'm targeting. So this one is an exception to the rule, but the reason is that I have a co-host that I spoke with last night, and Mary Grader, who, man, she got me riled up on so many topics about WWE that was going on and is going on currently, between the draft, between Lana and Lashley and Rusev, between Kane Velasquez and Kofi Kingston not giving a damn that he lost the championship, the Fiend being basically buried by creative in the Hell in a Cell, just Tyson Fury, Strowman. There are so many things that I really thought I could try to put a positive spin on, and I tried. I really did, and I'm not blaming Mary whatsoever. She's a blast to talk to, but she pointed out so many things that I couldn't really defend. I mean, I really tried to make an effort to point out some of the good things, and there are a few silver linings in the entire conversation, which we definitely cover. We really do. The whole thing is not ranting, and many of you will say, oh, this show is all ranting. It's, you know, you hate the product so much, we'll stop watching it. Well, what I'd like to say to those people are, look, if you're passionate about something and you love something so much and you see it just being crapped on, or you see it not at the potential that it could be, you get angry, you get frustrated and emotional. You want to see it at the level that you know it can be. So it's not a rant to rant, and this show's all about negativity, all you do is complain. No, I want to be very clear. Like, I always try to find good things, but these past 2 weeks in WWE have really been, starting with the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, really just set the tone for the next 2 weeks, have been abysmal with some of the storylines and nonsensical stuff, and Shorty Gable suddenly being this inspirational Sunday preacher. You know, I mean, like, it makes my skin crawl when they do that kind of stuff. And you'll get every bit of my opinions that I'm trying not to get riled up talking about right now. So I will save all of that lovely information and conversation for you in just a minute. But first, I would like to say thank you for joining me. This is not a show about negativity. This is typically a PG show, but again, this is probably not a kid-friendly episode, so keep this to yourself. If you're listening at work, you may want to turn down the audio, put on the headphones, or whatever you can do. Again, it's not all F-bombs, but there is the occasional curse word, so I just want to point that out. So, guys, I'll be back Tuesday and covering Monday Night Raw, Wednesday, Wrestling Nostalgia, and then back on Saturday for your SmackDown and / Weekend Review. And of course, your NXT and AEW podcast coming to you Thursday with Chris and with Zach. So you guys get to listen to this show 5 times a week, 2 of them of which are not my voices. I like that. And I appreciate all of the hosts who are making the effort and taking the time out of their day to analyze the product and give it to you guys. I think both of them are ultra talented. I hope you guys are enjoying them. From everything I'm hearing, I'm getting good feedback. And so I appreciate that. And by the way, if you guys have questions that you want answered on a show, especially the Saturday show with my co-host, drop me a line at the WWE podcast. Say, hey, what do you think about this? Just tweet me and say, I'd love you guys to discuss this. I think that is a great move by Mary, who did that at the latter portion of the show. I realized as I was scrolling through my feed, I said, oh, wait a minute. Wait, what are people answering us for? Why are they asking, say, hey, like, why are they telling us they'd like to know this or that? And it's because Mary put his tweet out earlier in the day and said, hey, if you guys want anything answered, let me know and we'll get it answered on the show. So good move. And I'd like to continue that trend for anybody who wants to get something answered on the air. Anyway, moving down the line, I would like to extend an invitation for you guys to join me on an ad-free experience over at patreon.com/WWE podcast. And yes, it's ad-free. Yes, you can come on the show as a co-host if you select the Hall of Fame tier. Yes, you get a shout out on the show. But there's also exclusive audio content and now exclusive blogs that are not available, written by yours truly, not available on the website or anywhere else. And this week I have a post up about Sasha Banks, who has taken a turn for the worse since she re-debuted on August 12th to WWE television after a 4-month hiatus after WrestleMania. And so I give you my thoughts on how she could repair herself, what they can do, what caused the downturn, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like I'm really focusing on the negative, but I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig, meaning I'm not going to pretend something is what it's not. I mean, I call it like it is. I think that that's what people like about this show at times is, yes, sometimes I may rant a little bit long, but look, it's passion and it's real talk and it's no punches pulled. Like, this is straight shoot talking wrestling about WWE. When it's great, it's great. And when it's bad, I tell you it's bad. And these past 2 weeks have been flat out just bad. Bad. There's no other way to put it. So Mary and I have an awesome conversation about everything going on in WWE. I think you'll enjoy it. So thank you. And again, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast if you want an access to all of the library, including ad-free experiences for all the shows and NXT, AEW podcasts, exclusive blogs, video. I mean, you name it. It's up there at Patreon and exclusive to that. So head on over there. And I thank everybody who's already a patron of the show. Much appreciated. Alrighty. With that long-winded intro, I think I'm going to finally get to the conversation with Mary. So, guys, enjoy. I love your feedback. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of you. All you do is complain, but maybe you agree. Maybe you agree. But I can definitely hear. I can hear this and see this being a show in which it is very diverse in terms of feedback. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. And here's my conversation with Mary. I'll be back Tuesday to review Monday Night Raw. Until then, take care. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. On this Saturday, it is October 19th, 2019, and as I speak, my New York Yankees are hanging on for dear life in Houston. And so I am recording this, and nobody better tweet me at all right now because I am not watching the game, and I will start watching the game after this conversation with none other than Mary Grater. Very excited to have her back in what was a not-so-stellar week in WWE. Mary, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. So we always have these weeks where there's a lot of good to talk about in WWE. There's a lot of things that we could go over that are, you know, that are positives. And while there are some this week, and I don't want to turn this into a rant fest, I want to make sure that we are fairly and accurately really just talking about the product and reacting to it. Before we get into the things that we didn't like, and that was a much, much longer list, what is something that you really did like from this week in WWE, Raw, SmackDown, or whatever it may be?
As I was saying to you before we started recording, I kind of checked out this week. There wasn't really anything memorable about Raw. The whole Bayley thing that happened last week and continued this week on SmackDown, Is interesting. I'm super happy she changed her look. She needed it. She does still look like a soccer mom. I think I said last night she looks like a little person who's angry when she's talking, but it's a step in the right direction. Her new music is awesome. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of The Rock's music. I don't know if like you listen to the beat underneath. I catch things like that. So it's cool. I'm glad they finally pulled the trigger. I'm glad she took out the inflatable arm men for Matt. He was really pushing it for the last couple of sessions that we've had on this podcast. So I was like, yes, we got one for the team. But other than that, it's more so that since the pay-per-view, Hell in the Cell, which they are fighting very, very hard not to mention the Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins match because everybody hated it. I think the wrestlers hated it too, and they were trying to defend themselves. It's been kind of a downward slope for WWE. I don't know what the heck is going on. This whole Bischoff thing happened, Pritchard's in charge, and everybody was like, oh, this big change, and it was like so much hype. Like, I've been watching AEW. It's been good. Nothing, like, crazy where I'm, like, standing on my head. Oh, my God, it's the best show ever. Their look looks great. I love how they recap the matches, and it's a full recap. It's not, like, three moves and the finish. They actually, like, do every single highlight that's in the match. And it takes a little longer, but I like it because if I miss something, I know I can see it now. But it's kind of like been a deflated, like, okay, we're here. Is that just me or you too?
Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of very mildly watching AEW from a distance, and I saw their first show, but I mean, I have barely enough time in the week to watch Raw and SmackDown. But yeah, this was not the most stellar thing WWE's ever done this week. The draft was all but
terrible.
A complete
the draft,
mess.
You know what? I completely forgot that the draft happened. That's how bad it was.
Well, because it's our brains trying to just push it out of our memory.
I completely forgot the draft happened. That is how bad it was. It was predictable. Everybody stayed on their shows except a couple people. And like the whole like room with the executives, it was just so forced. And it just kind of makes it even look, it looked like an ESPN commercial, like the funny ESPN commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
That's what it felt like. It felt like a big joke. And, you know, they've Fox commentators on other sports have been making, you know, kind of jabs at wrestling, and now they're promoting it. But, like, then they keep cutting to, like, all these super famous people in sports, and it feels forced. It's like, oh, no, they support us. So the whole week and a half since, like I said, 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks now since Hell in a Cell. Like, it's just been to get through. I kind of checked out this week. I'm not gonna lie. The thing with Otis happened, and the dough or the you know, the batter for pancakes or whatever he was making was falling down his beard, and I was just kind of like, all right, we're still doing this stuff. I'm out. I'm gonna go back and continue watching Supernatural. I couldn't do it. It was tough. Like, it's just like, aren't we past that? Like, are you really making like fat jokes in a room with Kofi Kingston, who has been completely swept under the rug since he dropped the title to Brock Lesnar, as we predicted, because it wasn't going to, you know, go the way that everybody wanted it to. So it's just been hard. That's what I'm going to say about it.
I think, yeah, the Kofi experiment's over. The Kofi experiment is over with an exclamation point. I'm just not excited about the fact that, as much as I was getting very tired of Kofi as champion, the fact that he's just going about throwing pancakes and saying it's the power of positivity, man, just really, really undermines his entire run. Basically, yep. He doesn't give a damn. And he's more still concerned about pancakes, still backstage, joking and doing inside jokes and terrible comedy backstage that Vince McMahon just cannot get himself away from. And you talk about Otis with the pancake batter running down his face. I mean, WWE has a habit of this, whether it's the gravy bowl in at Thanksgiving time or the awful forced sophomoric high school type of food fight that they do every single 4th of July. I mean, like, this kind of stuff, I don't know who finds this funny. I mean, what audience is sitting there, I mean, with tears in their eyes laughing? It's not entertaining. It's not in the remotely world of funny. It does nothing other than make you go, oh, this is why people hate wrestling, and this is why people bash on wrestling. This.
Yeah, because for every great moment that you have a whole bunch of that. And it's just, it's going over so bad because of the hype around AEW premiering. It's just people are tuning out, and it showed in the ratings. Like, SmackDown has consistently dropped the last 2 weeks since the premiere. And, like, yeah, you had The Rock there, but they had a whole bunch of people they said were scheduled to appear, and they didn't show up, like Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it just kind of felt like it was slapped together, and they were too concerned about getting Erin, what's her name, the sports announcer, the sideline chick. Erin Andrews. I'm sorry. I forgot your name. I am a fan of her. They have Erin Andrews backstage, like, interviewing guys. And I didn't even know it was her because I was like, yeah, okay, that's going to ever happen. So that it's happening, it just feels forced and trying to appease everybody. And when they try to appease everybody, you know what happens. What happens, Matt?
Well, when you're trying to serve multiple masters, you serve no one.
Yep.
That's exactly what you do. I mean, and that's what they're trying to do. And I guess before I start to really, like, lay it on thick, I mean, I really did like the Bayley turn. It seriously sounds like they've been listening to the show. I mean, yeah. Because it, like, verbatim, almost exactly what I said needs to happen essentially happened. She had a public execution of the Bayley buddies, or as she said, the Bayley bellies, accidentally, on the show. And she slayed them. I loved it. Very symbolic. She cut her hair. I don't care if she looks like a soccer mom. It's better than look like, you know, a 13-year-old girl who's trying to fit in with the cool kids in high school. I mean, like, that's what she did as a grown woman for years and years. This is much more natural to me. I've been waiting to see this side of Bayley. People are talking about it. They're not cheering her and going, oh, she's a cool heel. They are genuinely booing her. That's what you want. Becky Lynch was a much different scenario when she turned, quote, heel. Bayley is actually a good heel right now. I like her explanation. I think they've done a very good job thus far. Again, as you said, there is work to do. There's work to do here on the back end, but my God, this is a giant step forward for the Bayley character. Leather jacket, that's exactly what I said she needs to come out in. Do something different with her hair. Darker colors, put on black. What did she do? She put on black. I mean, so
she dyed her hair black.
Yes, she dyed her hair, like, ultra black. And everything right now is pointing up for Bayley. Yes, she's going to be facing Nikki Cross, but I expect Bayley to hold this belt. And I always say this, but I expect her to hold the belt for 4, 5, maybe even 6 months. And that's the way it should be, with a really solid, long-standing heel run.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, it should be at least that long. I will see. Everything that's going on around her, though, it's just kind of like complete chaos right now. So I don't have any faith with WWE right now continuing what they're doing. I mean, it's just, you get so frustrated because they have all this promise and then they become shills. And going back to Vince McMahon stuff, I said to you before we started recording, like the Lana, Bobby Lashley stuff, like if something doesn't scream geriatric McMahon, I don't know what does, because who decided to put like 2002 onto the screen in 2019? That's
exactly what it is. I looked at this and I'm like, am I watching an old version of Raw? Like, what am I watching? Like, it was just uncomfortable. I don't know if it's uncomfortable just to be uncomfortable. I'm a straight dude. I enjoy looking at pretty women. Like, that's just what I am. Like, because I'm a straight guy. But I don't watch wrestling to see that. Even when I was a teenager, it was like, oh, that's cool. But I'm here to get involved in stories and watch men, you know, fight over championships. I don't need this stuff. It felt so like 5 to 10 steps backwards from where they were. You talk about Lana.
Yeah, and they haven't done something like that in a long time too. So it was just weird. It just came off weird. It was like, what is this?
Yeah, it's weird. And Lana, who had really made strides into, yeah, she didn't do great as a wrestler, but as a character, she was intriguing. She was a good pairing with Rusev, and now they just essentially redefined her as a sex symbol with Bobby Lashley, and watching them make out on a weekly basis. And you actually, I mean, the only thing that I'm slightly curious about out of this whole bizarre storyline is if Rusev and Lana are truly having issues. I mean, they actually got married, and now Lana is making out with Rusev, and, or making out with Bobby Lashley, and doing all these extremely, extremely sexual scenes for a PG environment. And I'm wondering, like, man, either they have a really strong marriage and the creative convinced them that this is a storyline that's going to be, you know, generate a lot of money. I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I'm wondering is, and I haven't heard, is there actual issues with Lana and Rusev? And maybe that's the only hook. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know that much into that stuff. I don't dive too deep into this stuff. It's just, it's a weird, yeah, who wants to see that? Who wants to deal with that as a married couple? Don't know what it's going on. I mean, obviously, if they're fine, they okayed it. So that's it. But the weird thing that came out of it is that Bobby Lashley, like, seemed to, like, actually be able to talk on the microphone, which I was like, oh. I mean, it wasn't the best performance ever, but, like, he's very been always a kind of Brock guy where he doesn't talk, and that's why they gave him Leo Rush for a while. I don't even know what to talk. It's just really uncomfortable. It was an uncomfortable thing to witness, and it just seemed very, very childish and not necessary. And it's like they're trying to compete with AEW and being like edgy, but they don't want to do the blood that AEW is willing to do if they need to do it. AEW is not doing any kind of storylines like this, and they're probably not going to. So it's like their response is, oh, we're going to be like kind of risky sexual. And it's like nobody wants to see that. So it just comes off. Again, the whole thing is really, really weird. It's not even flat. It's just like, oh, we're doing this now. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very puzzled by this, and really the last thing I'll say about this is, like, what the hell is the payoff? I mean, where are they going? A Rusev Bobby Lashley match? Who cares? I mean, I don't care about that. I really don't. And yeah, Bobby Lashley is a better heel than he is a babyface, and he has more talking. He's talked more now than he has in, you know, since he re-debuted the night after WrestleMania last year. And so I guess that's good for him being the most relevant, although that's not saying much. I just don't see the payoff to this. There's no end game that I can think of that is like, oh, I gotta know what happens. I can't wait for these two to lock up. I don't care. And furthermore, if Rusev is angry at Bobby Lashley, shouldn't he actually be angry at Lana? Lana's the one he's married to. He's not married to Bobby Lashley. So maybe the hook is also, what happened? Why is she with Bobby? But even that, I'm kind of like, I don't even care.
It just came out of left field. It's like they were gone and, you know, they weren't being utilized the way they were supposed to be utilized. Lana was trying to, you know, wrestle, which she was getting better. At least she was trying. I'm not even going to knock her for that. But it's just they re-debut him, and they re-debut him with this, like, weird gimmick. Like, Rusev looks great. He's in the best shape he's ever been in. And I just don't understand what the, like you said, what the payoff is for you to reintroduce these characters like this after they've been off TV for so long and there's no backstory. Like, I guess we're supposed to guess about it, but it's just, it's weird. Like, why wouldn't you just have Lana come out and be like, I'm done with this relationship and I'm with him now, and start managing him? Like, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah. Instead of, you know, instead of in front of a national televised audience creating committing adultery. I mean, like
they can still make out and stuff, but like, it doesn't, do you get what I'm saying? There's a way, yeah, to do it. And like, they're so concerned about being PC, but like, they are just in this bubble right now where they don't know what the hell they're doing, because it's the first time in years they've had competition and they've gotten used to themselves, and then the guy in charge is, you know, delusional at this point. And he won't step down, and it's hurting them. And I was, while you were talking about this whole Rusev story, then I remembered everything else of why I haven't been watching the last 2 weeks. This Tyson Fury and what's his face? Can't even
Braun
remember
Strowman.
His name. No, not Braun Strowman. The other guy who's there right now, the MMA fighter. Cain Velasquez.
Cain Velasquez.
Look how much I care about UFC. is... And, like, I'm a casual watcher of UFC. I do like it. But I hate UFC fans because they think their product is superior, and their product has been always plagued with BS. If I could curse, I would say other choice words. Because I think they're garbage. I think Dana White's garbage. I just think the whole thing is garbage. And they have a product that could be really great, and they just they don't know what they're doing. And then they copy at WWE and they bash WWE. So anyway, side rant. That those two guys I do not care about at all. I could care less. Cain Velasquez is a washed-up MMA fighter, and this is WWE being WWE, picking up things that are 8 years old and trying to make it cool. Like, they've done this with pop culture since they started doing more heavy pop culture stuff. And Tyson Fury, I care less about boxing. Like, so that's what turned me off. That was the initial turn off. That and this whole Crown Jewel stuff. And Hogan came on my TV last night and I was like, nope. And this is why I'm so bitter about it this week, because bringing those two guys in for Fox, that's a Fox move. It does nothing for the product, and those guys don't know what they're doing. You have Brock Lesnar. There's no need. Brock Lesnar was a bigger star than Cain Velasquez ever was and Tyson Fury put together. And Cain Velasquez walked out and looked like my ex-boyfriend with his t-shirt off. I'm not impressed. And that's what turned it off.
So it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, not because I had an ex-boyfriend, but
no, because, please bash him. No. He's the one that everybody hates, the one me that hates the most. It looked like, and my ex-boyfriend was fat. He was 6'2", 6'3", and weighed like 230 plus all the time and wasn't in shape and tried to act like he was in shape, but he wasn't. And
that's well, so now you double dislike Cain Velasquez because of the
yeah. Yeah, without his shirt on, and I was like, holy shit. Sorry.
That's all right.
Like, that's what I that was the first thing I thought of. Not about they're trotting out an MMA guy. I was like, he looks like, how is he supposed to be intimidating?
He's not. And it's a very bad look. I mentioned this last week, too, that it's just when Cain Velasquez comes out, I'm like, put a shirt on, bro. Like, it's not. I mean, seriously, just because that I know that I'm not all about look. But when you have such a stark contrast from what Brock Lesnar looks like to Cain Velasquez.
Brock never takes his shirt off never. Unless he fights.
And like, and you think you're looking at this and you're like, how in the hell did Cain Velasquez ever beat Brock Lesnar? I understand it's not about muscle mass and tone, but just like the stature. I mean, it's got to matter. And this is not a good look for Cain Velasquez whatsoever physically. Not at all. And I can see the WWE fans crapping all over this match, which, by the way, is for the WWE Championship at Crown Jewel. Figure that. Think about that.
I'm not trying to laugh.
About that. I mean, like, this is where I need to kind of take a breath and step back, because I'm going to lose my mind thinking about how in the hell does Cain Velasquez come in. I don't care. People are saying he's Cain Velasquez. Look what he did in the UFC, defeated Brock Lesnar. All of that's true. He became the UFC champion, defeating Brock Lesnar. All of that is true. He was dominant. Look at his record. I understand that. But that's like me saying to you, hey, listen, I just won the World Series, so I'm going to go to instantly the Super Bowl. Like, I should just go from the World Series to go to the Super Bowl. That's what this is saying. This is nonsensical crap. You do not put somebody from the UFC instantly in a championship match. If they want to have an attraction match, fine. WWE's had many attraction matches, most of them stinkers. And it just is what it is when you bring in somebody from the outside that tries to play WWE for a little while. But for him to be in the championship match, that is what really, really irritates me.
And it goes back to this stupid pay-per-view that you can say, I watch WWE. I don't watch these. I don't support them. I think it is BS. And I think it's also adding to ruining the product. Yeah, it's that's all it's been for the last 2 weeks too. Another thing that I'm gonna bitch about, it's been Crown Jewel advertisements, and it's not Halloween, okay? It's a sacred holiday. Nobody's watching Crown Jewel on Halloween. Everybody's gonna be out having fun and doing Halloween things. It's just the whole premise is. Ugh. I can't. I'm sorry, Matt. I don't even have words for it. Like, I'm just so disgusted by it, and the Team Hogan Flair stuff and. This, like, I don't know what, I said that Raw was really great, like, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, And now I'm just like, see, you cursed it. It's just every single time. There is not a good thing I can say about the product right now. Like, I can't. Even the good stuff, they're having great matches. Yay.
Yeah,
but like, Lacey comes out with Natalya on Monday night. What? Or Thursday. I don't even know what day it was because it was just on in the background. I was just like, all right, I'm done.
Natalya put down her dad who's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. All of us inexplicably, yeah, she's my partner. Why?
What? I needed somebody who took me to my limit. BS. Lacey Evans didn't take you to your limit. You're Natalya. Like, it's so like.
So I'm going to move on to another topic, and I'm really going to try to spin something good out of this, although I feel like I'm not going to get it.
You're just going to have half Mary laughing in the background because it's just so ridiculous that I can't not laugh at it.
How about Seth Rollins and The Fiend? Now, I'm really trying to stay away from Hell in a Cell because that is a dangerous territory for you and I to talk about.
Why though? That's what's causing the whole situation with it. That's what happened.
Is there anything positive that you can come out of Seth Rollins and The Fiend? Anything?
You're really putting me on the spot right now.
Make something up.
I can't not talk about Hell in a Cell. That's when this started.
All right, go. Just talk about it. Go.
It's like the premiere of SmackDown was the weekend before, or the beginning of the weekend. So, and that was okay. I mean, their open is terrible. Their stage is better, but their open is terrible. Like, both opens are terrible. So anyway, I'm just nitpicking at this point.
How about his entrance? Bray Wyatt's entrance, The Fiend's entrance.
That's great. But then the match happened, and immediately the whole entire place like turned. It was like the record skipped in Weird Science. I don't know if you kids know what Weird Science is, but when they go to the club, it's a great movie. Watch it. Anyway, the record scratches, and the place just turned and was throwing tomatoes because how do you call a match that is supposed to be no DQ, where we have seen men go through cages and get their tooth shoved through their nose. Yeah. And then you call a match with a guy who's supposed to be basically the second coming of like a Kane or an Undertaker or something like that. And you call it. And it just.
Well. Yes. Yes.
And then after that, now you're trying to save a character, but like, I kind of think that they're burying him. I think they're doing the same thing that they've done to Bray Wyatt this whole time he's been up on the main roster. They do not want him to succeed. And that's it. I have no other explanation for it because this is twice now and his gimmick's super over and they already crapped the bed with it. We already said that they shouldn't have booked him in a match for the championship yet, and they did, and then you call it in a no contest, and now you show up the next week, the commentary doesn't mention the match at all, and then everybody's trying to apologize or like defend it, and then Bray comes out of the ring and steals Seth Rollins, who pops back out right away.
The whole thing, I don't ever believe this program should have never happened. Ever. I mean, this should have been a program that you build to and build to and build to. Instead, it's the real true first program that The Fiend has. Yeah, he went through, who was it? He went through, my God, how many legends giving them the mandible claw? And then through Finn Balor, which honestly, like, whatever, that didn't even really count. This is his first real feud. Why is it Seth Rollins? Neither guy can afford to lose. Neither one at this point. And then you book yourself into a corner with this bizarre finish, and I've really just laid it on thick in my last, like, four shows about that, so I won't repeat myself, but it was a complete disaster. And yes, the ref stoppage made zero sense, which is even funnier now that you have Crown Jewel. They have in the tagline of the match, because they really heard it from the fans.
Really
it
says messed that this up,
match,
guys.
It said that this match will not be stopped for any reason. It said that on the graphic of the match. because they want to let fans know that they're not going to book themselves into a terrible finish of having the referee stop a match that should never have been stopped. And the rules say that there are no disqualifications, no stoppage. The only thing I would say if a match should be stopped is if in real life, truly, the safety of the performers were in question. If somebody literally could not move, was knocked out, whatever it may be, you know, some serious medical issue, of course, stop the match. But just to have it scripted that way, awful.
Yeah, and Seth Rollins tried to defend on his Twitter that that's the reason why the match got called. Like, he was so now it's even worse because you have one of the opponents, like one of the guys in the match, the world champion, defending that the match got called because the other guy was in danger. Like, why are you defending? Like, you should be like, yeah, I kicked his ass. Like, why are you? They backed themselves into such of a corner. You're absolutely right. This match, this program should have never, ever been booked. I guess they didn't have another person for Seth, which is, you know, unfortunate and a reading of the product as it is. Like, why don't you have somebody else for Seth Rollins? Because they don't book anybody. They don't build up anybody. They just, you know, keep going back to the well for the people that are kind of over. And then you have somebody like Bray Wyatt who's over. And then they just do that to him. And now he's got to struggle to kind of keep this thing like, because it makes him look bad. They had to stop the match because he couldn't continue. Even though he popped back up and like gave him the manable call. And then they had fake blood coming out of it. It's just like, who is a 4-year-old scripting this right now?
Yep. That's how it felt like I was playing a 5-year-old who was, I don't know, we were playing a video game and he had like 18 stored up finishers and, you know, like it was some kind of cheat code on and he was just keep getting up. The fans at that point in the match didn't give a damn about it. You heard the AEW chants. And furthermore, you had 41 previous Hell in a Cell matches in the history of the Hell in a Cell, 41, and not one of them, after all of the sadistic things that have happened, Mick Foley being set on fire, being put through the cell, being, you know, a human pincushion, being thrown off the cell, Undertaker tossing Rikishi into like a, I don't know what the hell that was, I remember that, it was like in 2000, he tossed Rikishi off into like a pile of wood chips or something. All these things that have happened, and yet not one time has a referee ever decided, no, I'm going to take it upon myself to be the moral compass of this match and overstep my bounds and go no, I'm bringing the bell. I'm done talking about the match because it just gets me in circles and I can't. So, but the thing is that even is more puzzling beyond Hell in a Cell is that you have this feud continuing into Crown Jewel. I know you're not going to watch it, but it's continuing into Crown Jewel. Why is this continuing into Crown Jewel? What has Bray Wyatt done to receive a championship match? I have said this over and over ad nauseum, is that the only way that anybody gets a championship match, not all the time, but the majority of the time to get a championship match, all you have to do is attack the champion. That's it. You automatically get a championship opportunity against the champion. You just have to attack them, and then they'll want the revenge, but then they'll reward you with giving and putting their championship on the line. It's just the whole thing makes zero sense.
Yeah, I don't really have much to add to it. It was a poor decision, and how many times has Triple H pulled out a sledgehammer and won a Hell in a Cell with a sledgehammer? So it's just, you know, it goes back to that CM Punk gif with, you know, one of the last times Punk was in the ring with him and, you know, Stephanie's calling him the greatest world champion of all time and Punk's just laughing in the background and putting his head in his hands. It's one of the, like, how are you letting this happen? Like, you do have some kind of pull. Like, don't tell me you don't. Like, Triple H, you see, like, and, like, either he doesn't care or, like, legitimately, Steph's like, I'm going to divorce you if you say anything to my husband. I mean, to my father. It just doesn't, I don't know. None of it makes sense to me. I don't know what they're doing. We're rambling about it because we don't have words to put into what is going on right now.
Well, how about as we? I'm trying to move on.
Wait, hold on. Like,
go ahead.
Wait, let me try. So, what do you think about the rumors and the confirmation that CM Punk had done interview to do the after show with Fox Sports?
Yeah, the backstage thing.
Backstage show that is a Fox program, not a WWE program.
So I think it's a step in the right direction. Anytime that we see somebody get put in some kind of outside of the, you know, the main storyline type of thing. In other words, when somebody leaves the company and you're like, when are they coming back? Are they ever coming back? You'll see signs of when they're actually coming back when they start to get involved in outside projects, meaning maybe they're suddenly slammed into the video game for that year. Why are they in the video game? They got the rights back? Like, you'll see signs, and this is a perfect way. And yeah, CM Punk's not in the game this year or anything like that, but him in that project being put back kind of in the wrestling world, I think is a really good sign. And somebody had recently just asked CM Punk, I think on another podcast that he did or a radio show or something, you know, would you ever come back to WWE? You know, is there any amount of money? And he said it would have to be a very big bag, meaning...
Yeah, like, it was a Reddit thread.
Yeah, so that tells me that, hey, I'm open to it if you basically, you know, put enough zeros on the check. That is a much different answer than he has given in the past, saying he's done, he's never going back. The same old response for years and years since he left 6 years ago or whatever it was. Now he's kind of opened himself back up to it, not overtly, but kind of subtly by not saying outright, yeah, I'm interested, just if they have the creative, that's right. He's playing this smart because I think this is a good, really good sign if you think Punk could have one more match in WWE.
I have a lot of feelings about it because, I mean, I think I kind of know how Punk works and – he's a jerk. I mean, I'm not going to admit that he's not a jerk, but he's an awesome jerk. And he knows what he's doing, like you're saying. And I think with everybody thinking if he was going to come back, he was going to go to AEW, obviously, because now there's a competitor and he hates the WWE and stuff like that. And, you know, he'll never wrestle for them again. Punk is a businessman before anything, and he knows that with AEW right now, he could basically ask WWE for any kind of money. And he's going to get it. And he's going to have creative control of his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So do I think it's going to happen still, though? No, I still think he's done. I don't know. I think he's doing this show because it's not WWE produced. But never say never. And he's being him. He's being cryptic. But he seems a lot more open to it now. And all his friends are in WWE now. And if he's got to make up bridges and stuff that he burnt, why wouldn't you try to go back there? I don't know.
And Paul Heyman is now in a much higher position in WWE and at the head of Raw Creative. And I think that may entice him a little bit to say, hey, you know, I actually have a friend here in Paul Heyman and, you know, management that I can trust. Maybe that's something again. If he ever comes back, it's no way it's full time. It could be just a handful of matches or maybe just an appearance at WrestleMania to deliver a GTS and the crowd's going to lose their mind. Something like that. I do expect him back in WWE in a very limited capacity that could ultimately not happen until WrestleMania, which I would be
Rumble.
Totally fine with.
Rumble.
Yeah, Rumble. Or
I think they're going to do something if it happens that quick, which I don't think. I like saying this a lot because people get, you know, their panties in a bunch over CM Punk, especially with people who are CM Punk fans like me. Like, I'm a crazy CM Punk fan. I don't know if he's coming back anytime soon. But if he was going to come back anytime soon, it would be the Rumble. He would be a surprise entrant. The place would lose its crap. They know that at this point. They're not that stupid.
It would be, I think the pop for that would be equal to, or I don't mean, it would equal any Austin reaction over the last 10 years, any Rock reaction. The crowd would, especially if they don't see it coming, the people, everybody would absolutely lose their minds. And I don't know when the next time WWE is in Chicago. I really have no idea. I'd have to look at the schedule.
Do you remember when that was a thing? Like people tracked when it was in Chicago because everybody was just hoping.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, it's crazy how fans are like that for certain people.
And actually, I'm on Twitter right now, and I'm on there only because I see people asking us questions.
I tweeted out. Tell you that. Surprise.
I see that. I'm like, oh, well, it's a good thing I opened my phone. I tweeted out.
If anybody had any questions for us, I would check my Twitter, which I haven't, and you did, and tweeted us.
All right. Well, I'm saving your integrity live here. So we have a question from it's Spooky Susan Anthony? I think so.
Anthony.
Yes, from Anthony. Do you think Fox will force WWE to make changes, drastic or not, to their product if ratings continue to decline week after week? What do you think?
I think it's going to get to the point, because there is so much money invested in Fox, if their ratings continue to decline the way they are, and they keep saying that like Fox has like word over them, so they have presence, I think Fox is going to be like, you need to get Vince to step down a little bit. I think that's going to be forced if it happens, because it's not going to happen until he's in a home. So I wouldn't be surprised if they like try to get their fingers in there and maneuver things and be like, well, why is this more popular looking at NXT than the regular stuff, if you're looking at it at that basis, even though NXT isn't putting up the numbers that AEW is right now. So I think they step in. I don't know. That's my guess. What do you think?
Yeah. So, you know, I would have to believe that the Fox WWE 5-year contract that they have here does have some safeguards in place for Fox, that if your rating falls below X, whatever that number is, for, you know, whatever it may be, an extended period of time, whether it's month, 2 months, I don't know. But I have to believe that the Fox executives shelling out that amount of money to WWE have to put that safeguard in there, that if your show falls below this rating for X number of weeks, that you're going to be moved to FS1, whatever it may be. And next week, SmackDown is on FS1.
Yes, it is.
I don't know why. I'm guessing it's a football game or some other pre-existing commitment that Fox had with whatever show was airing at that time, and not because of the ratings. I have to believe that. But FS1 will become the home of SmackDown if the WWE continues to have their ratings decline. Again, I don't think that Fox can force WWE to make changes. That's WWE having to make changes to make Fox happy. Fox has no control over the creative content of WWE. That's WWE. But they could care about the ratings and the viewership, of which WWE will be on FS1 if they continue to fall. I mean, mark my words, it just would make no sense that those terms and conditions are not in the contract.
So, yeah, you would have to wonder, even if Fox doesn't have, like, creative control, I understand that, but they could step in a way and be like, you guys got to stop doing what you're doing and think of something else. And if they're watching the competitors, which you know they are, they're going to start questioning why this is like this and this is like that. There's still a way to be mainstream like they want to be. I mean, they were mainstream in the 90s, and it was all, like, you know, hell breaking loose in WWE. So They're walking a timeline, in my opinion. They got to do something, and they can't resort to 2012 WWE content, and that's what they're doing right now.
And, well, what WWE is going to chalk it up to, and what they always chalk it up to is, well, people aren't, you know, they're cutting the cord. They're doing Hulu. They're doing,
We don't have a Cena.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, but that's been their excuse, is that people are just doing streaming, and they're doing, you know, not actually buying cable anymore through your, you know, Time Warner or Spectrum or whatever, Comcast. You're doing it. You're like through YouTube Live TV, whatever. But at the same time, you could say, well, wait a minute. On your Fox debut on SmackDown, you pulled in 3.5 million viewers, all of which have access to the internet, every single one of them. And all of a sudden, 1.5 million of them go away, and they're like, ah, well, we'll watch it, but not on cable TV anymore. Clearly, they still have cable TV in which they watched it during that time and or on delay. So you can't tell me that that is because of cable cutting. And 1.5 million people, 25% of your audience, decided over the last 2 weeks to go, well, I'm cutting the cord. Let's do Hulu. Let's do whatever. They always chalk it up to that, but you cannot use that as an excuse for this drastic of a drop and continuing to drop week after week.
I mean, and also, Fox isn't cable, it's regular TV. So there's really no excuse. I don't have cable. I use only streaming services, but I have regular TV with a digital antenna, and I can watch, you know, SmackDown Live. So that's just a drastic drop, and it's a Friday night spot, too. Nobody's home on Fridays. Shows on Fridays tend to fail. So they have to do something different to make people want to engage with it. And the streaming numbers count at this point, too. They have to include that in some kind of total. So there isn't really an excuse. They have it on three platforms. They have it on regular TV. They have it on the Fox app. And then they have it on Hulu the next day. So I don't know. They got to change their shit. that's it. I'm at a loss. I'm not trying to curse, but like, that's basically what it is. They need to change. And the way they're changing is like, they're reverting. Didn't you say that? That it's It's not good.
It's not. I mean, the ratings aren't what they used to be. I mean, they're not. I mean, it's really not. It's important. Don't get me wrong. But the ratings themselves truly aren't as important as they used to be back in the 90s, early 2000s, before all of this internet streaming came about. But the fact is, Fox still cares, and there are safeguards. And so, to answer your question very long-windedly, Anthony, I'll just shorten the name up, they will put safe measures into place. And while Fox doesn't control the creative, as you said, Mary, they can go to WWE and say, hey, you guys need to change your what? You know what? Like, you need to change what you're doing, because this ain't working. And I'm sure Fox and WWE management are in talks every week, just saying how things are going and checking in. I'm sure. I mean, you don't invest billions of dollars in something and just go, well, let's let them do what they want, and you know, we'll see in 5 years. They are like closely monitoring WWE's ratings, and you know, I'm sure other measurements as well. But all right, well, we have another question, and this is from Tony, so I'll just leave it at that. The finish of this isn't really a question, but it kind of is. It's not structured as a question, but I know
he's
what he's getting at.
Not structured very well.
all right, Tony. So he's asking, the finish of Brock and Kane at Crown Jewel, after the finish of that match, where does Kane Velasquez go? What do you think? I know we kind of touched on this, but pretend to care about Kane Velasquez and think about maybe where he could go after this match with Brock at Crown Jewel, of which you won't even be watching anyway.
Either he goes, like, to the trash, because like, he should really not be used after that, or he goes to NXT, because anything else is just going to be crappy. It's just, it's going to be forced, and it's going to be messy, and somebody might get hurt, and that's how I feel about it. I don't know what they're going to do with him after that. The thing is, with Crown Jewel, they promote the crap out of it, but then they don't, it doesn't involve their storylines, really. Like, it does, but like, it's forgotten. Does that make sense? It doesn't count. So I don't really know what they would do with Kane after that. I don't know what their plan is for this. I don't think they thought this through. And it's just going to be some big dude like clubbing a bunch of people for a while. I don't know.
I mean, I know that they tried to play this up as like a Ronda Rousey-esque type signing, and
she's
it's not
Ronda Rousey.
It's not.
Come on,
Ronda
dude.
Rousey fit
Ronda
in.
Ronda Rousey's a different. Like, I didn't even bring her up because you know what? She doesn't. They don't deserve her to be brought up. Like, Ronda Rousey is a anomaly. She's a Kurt Angle. She's a Brock Lesnar. Like, come on now. Kane Velasquez wishes he was as talented as Ronda Rousey.
I mean, the fact that they said that is just flat out embarrassing. I'm not knocking Kane's credentials, and the fact that he's a legit badass, I don't care if he looks like he's just, you know, very pedestrian. Looks like a guy in the crowd that just took off his shirt and wants to fight the wrestlers. I mean, I'm sorry, he's just not as intimidating. He's got a great look in terms of his facials and stuff. He's got a mean, like, he's got a default resting bitch face of a guy. Like, it's the equivalent of a guy just looking like he's always angry and mean, and that's what he looks like, and that's great. But the problem is, you know, the other 90% of you doesn't look so impressive. But he's clearly been very successful in UFC. But the fact of the matter is, after this match, I hope he just kind of goes away. Like, I don't want to see him. The problem is, this is not a one-off for Kane, because all reports that I'm looking at says that this is a multi-year deal that WWE signed with him. So if that's the case, I want him to just go away, sit your ass in the performance center, and for like months and months and months, train, eat right, get your body to look like it probably should if you want to be a WWE performer. I mean, that's just a fact. I'm not body shaming. I'm not saying, oh, well, you know, the fact is, you can't look like that and tell us you're something else. It's just not believable from a WWE perspective, because you guys aren't going to be in an octagon. You're going to be in a ring, which means you're going to be doing wrestling moves. And it's not believable to see Brock Lesnar taking these bumps from Cain Velasquez, who is looking like, again, looks like your ex-boyfriend or whatever. Like, it just, I mean, seriously, it's not intimidating. It's not believable. And I think the majority of the audience is probably going to crap on this match in Crown Jewel. I mean, I could see this being a total disaster inside the ring. The thing is, the only thing that this match has going for it is that Brock Lesnar does not work by the hour, meaning he's probably going to have this match over in about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. In some capacity, this match will be over in about 2 to 3 minutes. It's just the way that Brock Lesnar works, and that works to Kane's strengths because he doesn't have to expose his weaknesses to the audience.
Yeah, you're analyzing it way too much for me, because I just don't, like, I don't care about it whatsoever. It's going to happen. Hopefully Brock dismisses him in like 5 seconds. But, you know, with everything that's happened in these other matches that are over there, they've always ended up being like really, really terrible. And these are the matches that those people want, and they're giving it to them, and they're all crap. So I'm just not expecting this to be a good match whatsoever.
All right. Yeah. So let's move on.
I'm really trying not to be super negative to Izzy. It's just, it's been so hard the last 2 weeks, man.
It's really
hard.
We call it like it is. I don't like to be the show that just, you know, piles on WWE to pile on them to get ratings and people, you know, whatever. No, like, I always try to fairly analyze the product, and when it needs criticism and deserves, you know, a shot in the nuts, this is when WWE needs to get it, because they deserve it. I have no official ties to WWE. I don't work for them. I could care less who is listening to the show there. but at the same time, we're doing this because we love the product. We love wrestling, which means when we see it looking like crap, we don't want it to look like crap. So we say, hey, here's maybe how it could be better. Here's what we don't like, and this is what we want to see improve, because we don't want to see the product that we love just basically get flushed down the toilet. And that's kind of what it's been the last couple weeks with the draft and the terrible war room, all the things that we just mentioned. So, I would just like to clear that up. It's not a whole bunch of let's just be negative. It's just, this is how we truly feel about the product right now.
Yeah, I know. I just feel bad because I know I harp on some things, but I'm trying to search for stuff. Like, you mentioned the draft again, and now I'm thinking about how bad the draft was.
I know. I was going down the same road too.
So wait, you didn't give your opinion about it. What did you think of the draft?
So, okay. Well, I'm not going to go into too much detail, because I've, for the last couple of weeks, since, you know, we only talk every 3 weeks,
yes,
the last like couple of weeks since it's been happening, I've just been like, I haven't been a total bomb on the thing, because I'm trying to find some good things and I'm trying to appreciate some things. So the things I appreciated, just to kind of give you an abbreviated summary, I appreciated that WWE was trying to make this whole thing feel more sports-like. I appreciate that. Like, I understand the effort there. I know what they're trying to do, trying to make this more of a true draft type of feel that an NFL would do, or whatever, or MLB. I understand that. They're trying to do war rooms. War rooms are, I guess, a thing. I understand that. They actually put out the rules of the draft, although they forgot about what if you draft a champion. Like, what if they drafted the Raw Women's Champion and put her on SmackDown? Does she keep the belt? Like, they never address that, which
that
told
was,
me, okay.
Yeah.
Like, how do you miss that? How does that get missed? And furthermore, I'm already down this path. Here we go. There's the one thing I appreciate. Outside of that, they drafted Alexa Bliss separately and Nikki Cross separately. Why would you do that when you could just get them for one pick as a team? And then they ended up trading them anyway to SmackDown. And then WWE, and the cardinal sin that they did was put out the pool of candidates that was available for Fox and available for USA on SmackDown and Raw in the almost exact order that they were drafted prior to the actual draft. It was embarrassing. I've got more, but that's the gist to start.
Okay. So, Yeah, like how terrible was the draft? Like, and furthermore, you know, with the Alexa Bliss thing that you just said that I didn't even know happened. I thought they were drafted together. I guess they weren't. They drafted all the factions together. So like you have an opportunity to shake things up. Like that would have been a really good chance if you were going to break up the New Day to break up the New Day and put Kofi on his own or put Big E on his own, whatever. They just, they kept everybody. Like they kept their, you know, their champions. Like you said, what would happen? Ooh, I want to know what would happen if they drafted the other person. Let's say, I just don't understand why they don't do the draft and have it be sporadic, like have it be not planned. Like you have a, like a pool for each, like, let's just say they have a pool for each show, but you can only pick out of those two, but then just do it. Like have Stephanie McMahon come out, have an executive come out, have, you know, a higher rank official, whatever, do it. You can do it, or you could just repeat the same people like Stephanie was doing. But I don't understand why they don't just like, let's do it, wild card. Let's see what the roster looks like if people actually chose people. I think that would make the show super interesting. Then you write your storylines around that.
There's a way to do this that would have been so much better. And the other thing I really, two things that I really would just, I was shaking my head, just actually fuming. Like I was cursing. And I don't do that. Like I don't normally just like, oh, I roll my eyes or sigh. Like I was sitting there and I was like, you know, what the F? Like what is this? Number one, the war rooms that were there were so contrived and every pick that they made was just the best pick they ever made ever. And why do the Fox and USA executives get to pick when shouldn't WWE management, whoever's managing those brands, be able to actually have an input? And maybe they did. Maybe that's just assumed with all the phones and laptops they have there that they're having connections with WWE. And so like every move they all they're high fiving. They're high fiving each other over like Lucha House Party being drafted to SmackDown or Raw. Like you and every pick framed by the announcers, framed by any of the interviewers. Anybody that was ever talked about, the pre-show guys like Samoa Joe, who's on the pre-show, Renee Young, Booker T, who makes little to no sense to begin with, all of them were saying every pick is just such a great pick. Why? How is every pick such a great pick? I understand they can't bury the talent. I get that. You're trying to put over whoever, and I get it. But at the same time, it's when you hear the same reaction to every pick that it's, what a great pick. What, you know, what? Why? If you're trying to be a sports simulation, every pick that's made in an NFL, MLB draft, whatever professional sport, pick your, you know, pick your poison. You have critiques, you have criticisms, especially by, you know, announcers and talk radio hosts and whatever, like saying like, oh, I don't know if they're going to be a good fit here. Why is that reaction never an option ever, that they can't question a pick going, I don't know if they're going to be a good spot here. And then maybe they end up being a great pick and that's the story. But it's always the same reaction, whether it's anybody. I need to stop.
It was very contrived. It was like, oh, the Raw roster, that's a great addition to the Raw roster. And it's just like, you already had them. Like the whole, it didn't make any sense. And I really wish they would just be like, we're going to do like a random draft and like see what your rosters look like. And, you know, there could be a rule like, if you draft a champion, then another, you know, the other team drafts a champion and then that like cancels it out. Like, you have to be equal with that. But they could do something better than they did on Monday and to Friday, whenever.
So here's the thing.
It makes me sad. I'm sorry.
No. But here's the thing. As terrible as it was executed and eye-rolling as it was at times, the whole key to this thing is at the back end of it. What I mean by that is they must adhere to the rules of the draft, meaning that neither pool of candidates, neither talent on Raw or SmackDown can ever cross paths unless it's like a WrestleMania. Like if there's a reason to do that, I know this isn't going to happen because WWE can't help themselves. They throw in these terrible wild card rules and all of a sudden Survivor Series becomes the only time of year that WWE puts Raw and SmackDown head to head. And just this terrible nonsensical crap. And people just randomly show up at times. Like, I don't want that. I don't need that. This should feel like two separate worlds, because what happens is when you have two separate worlds that are defined for so long, what you start to do is create these fantasy matchups in your mind going, oh, wouldn't that be awesome to see so-and-so from SmackDown face so-and-so from Raw? It would feel like kind of two shows in their own worlds, never crossing paths, and when they do, it would feel really, really special. But instead, every time they do a draft, within a few weeks, you have reasons of why so-and-so's on Raw or SmackDown, and then all of a sudden the whole thing's blown up, it's watered down, and you go, why even draft rosters if you're going to have everybody on every show?
Yeah. I can't add to what you're saying because you're right.
So, I don't know. That's how I feel about this whole thing, but I know WWE is going to have no self-control or discipline and just start putting people everywhere because, well, we got to get the ratings up. Well, they want to see... No! And you're doing the talent no favors by overexposing, say, Roman Reigns on every show. He was just there every week. He was like a mainstay. I mean, like, and you're not allowing younger talent to get the time they need by having the talent that's just the, quote, bigger stars take up more time on both shows. This is how you build young talent and be able to get the fans behind them, tell a story, get them exposed instead of just having the same people on both shows. I don't know. So I've said my piece on that.
So wait, hold on. Let me stir the pot a little more. Shorty Gable.
He's on my list. Yes. Oh, God almighty. So,
Jesus. This show is great. We're so angry about everything.
I can't handle this. So, Shorty, I really didn't think I'd be ranting this much, but, like, this is deserved. I'm not faking this. This is, like, truly how I feel about all of this. Like, so Shorty Gable, Chad Gable. I'm going to call him Chad Gable because the fact that he calls himself Shorty Gable, a former Olympian, a guy that has more credentials physically than 75% of guys on the roster, hangs his head like he's, you know, the last kid picked in gym class for a kickball team, and stands there like, oh, you call me Shorty, like he doesn't stand up for himself. Instead, he embraces the name and then comes out there like he's some kind of, you know, hero that everyone can look up to say, I accept myself. Oh, so you accept yourself by accepting the nickname that the other people that disparaged you gave you, so you're just going to take it and try to own it. I know what he's trying to do. I get it. In this world of people pointing and body shaming and all this toxic world of social media, I understand what they're going at because of WWE's mission of trying to put smiles on people's faces, being an example, all this nonsensical stuff that they don't even have to be. It makes me want to vomit. Like, I am a huge fan of Chad Gable. I love his in-ring work. I think he could have been, and still may be, one of their top guys in the ring. Like, I love his work. He brings you into a match like nobody else. So I'm going to put that out there. But he comes out on SmackDown this week and tries to be this stand-up guy that everyone can look at and say, I embrace who I am. I love who I am. Really? Really? You do? After you hung your head for weeks and weeks and weeks, didn't stand up for yourself, and then furthermore, Michael Cole saying, he may be a Shorty Gable, but all he does is win. Really? That's all he does is win? Every single time he's faced Baron Corbin, outside of once, he has lost to Baron Corbin. He lost in the finals of the King of the Ring, and lost in three subsequent matches. And yet, they have him out there trying to be this guy that the everyman, and look what I can do. It makes me want to seriously puke.
You really don't like what they did to Chad Gable, huh?
No, I don't like when they do this. I don't like when they do this very transparent nonsense stuff that just tries. I mean, like, so apparently nobody out there is a good parent, and nobody else knows how to actually talk to their kids and say, hey, if you're getting bullied in school, you know, like, you know, there's ways to deal with it. Instead, they use Chad Gable as a conduit to speak to everybody in the audience, with all the parents standing up like, oh, this is wonderful. I love the message WWE is sending. This is not what wrestling is. I don't need this soft garbage that's being thrown into the product. I don't need sex and violence and blood and guts, but I don't watch this to see and look for heroes that I don't need in my life. Like, I don't need people to tell me that. And if you need WWE to sit there and tell you this through a storyline, you probably should look in the mirror and find some confidence from maybe a family member, a friend. Like, I don't know. This kind of crap really riles me up. I'm not a fan of when they do this to characters.
You need to get help if you like Shorty G.
Oh, God. Then he tries to own it by being, like, kind of ghetto. Like, he's like a ghetto nerd. Like, I don't know what this is anymore.
So, on this end, you got Shorty G. Like he said, an accolade, a very, very, very good wrestler. And then you have Lana and Bobby Lashley having sex on screen or simulating sex on the other end. Yeah. This is why I've been stirring the pot all night, because I have no idea what to say about the mess that is WWE right now. It's a mess. It's a hot mess.
Coming into this show, I was like, you know, there's some things I really don't like, and like, we'll get to them, and you know, here are some things I might like. And the more I'm talking about it, the more like, and I don't know if you're intentionally sitting there and just like muhaha, like, you know, like sitting there like, and you got like, I don't know, you got like lightning behind you, and you're just sitting there, I don't know, but like now, like, you're making me realize that there's a lot of nonsensical crap going
on. That's why I said it twice. It wasn't because I was trying to curse. There's no other word for it.
There, you know, I'm gonna label this.
It's not crap.
It is not crap, and I'm gonna officially label this show as explicit so that it would get an appropriate rating, and that's fine, and I will do that. So I will now say that this, what WWE has been doing, the majority of what they've been doing over the last week with the draft, and with Shorty G, and with Tyson Fury, and Cain Velasquez getting a WWE championship opportunity, is nothing short of a steaming hot pile of cow shit. Like, that is what it is. It is garbage. Like what? I love WWE. I will always watch WWE, no matter how many times I rant about all this stuff. But it's just when you see this stuff, like, who writes this stuff and goes, "Oh, this is gonna kill it." Like, who's doing this? I'm not following. I mean, I don't know how Paul Heyman, a guy that is, quote, at the top of Raw as the executive creative man, get through and go, yeah, this is great. The problem is the writers are writing for Vince.
Yep.
They are not writing for best for the show.
Hallelujah. That is exactly what they're doing. They don't care about Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's like, I don't got any writers. And they're like, oh my God, we got to praise Mr. McMahon. No, it's just a crapshoot right now. I don't know what they're doing. All this like garbage that doesn't have to do with wrestling, with Cain Velasquez and Tyson Fury, and then like just like mediocre storylines where you're making your champs look like chumps for the most part. Like, everybody looks like chumps. I mean, oh, I've remembered something I liked, Matt. By thinking about it, Asuka with the green mist.
Yes.
That's a yes.
That is a yes.
That was great. And I missed it the first time she did it. And I was like, get out of here. She didn't do that. And I went back and she did it.
Yes, she did. And I haven't seen that since Tajiri. Like, unless I missed it. Like, Tajiri back in the early 2000s is the last time that I saw it. So to see her do that, that is awesome. Like, I love that. And it's a cool visual. I guess they're heels now. Like, I don't know.
I think they are.
I think so. But they're not. I mean, I would assume that they are now cast as a heel. I'm fine with that. Like, they both needed a shot in the arm. Like, both of them desperately needed something in terms of like, hey, we need to get you guys going. We got some great talent here, and I do love the green mist. And did you see Asuka's, like, I know she put new makeup on of like these green tears coming down her face. Like, I couldn't make out what it was, but the makeup that she put on, that Asuka changed on Raw, was awesome. Like, I mean, it is a clear symbolic move of, hey, we've changed our personality, we've changed our character. So, yes, positive. Thank you for that.
Yeah, Asuka doing that, I think they're heels at this point. I would assume so. They need to change their music, though. See, that's why I'm mad still about the Bayley stuff. It's like, why is it, like, so hard for them to change music? Like, I don't... It just makes a difference. Anyway, yes, I appreciate their whole new gimmick and their whole kind of feel. I'm glad Paige isn't with them, because that never made any sense to begin with. And they're embracing their culture within wrestling, which I think is cool, because I guess they shied away from Mist and stuff like that because it was probably labeled racist or caricaturing people. But obviously, Asuka was like, I want to blow some green mist in people's faces, and they actually go through. So it's a good thing that went through. There you go. That's a good thing that happened in the last 2 weeks.
And one thing, I guess I'm not good or bad, but very neutral, because I don't know where it's going. So I'm gonna maybe end on a neutral note here, because I really, the rest of this stuff, I'm gonna go in circles and give myself a migraine. Is is the Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. And I know if you didn't watch a lot of SmackDown, I mean, this was the main event of the show. Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan teaming together, and they, I don't know where this ends. Like, I don't know what the payoff is. My guess is, because Roman Reigns is just kind of treading water. Like, he's not really in a program right now. He's just kind of teaming with Daniel Bryan, who I still don't trust, and I don't think people should still trust him as a babyface. He has not brought back the yes chants. The people are just on their own doing the yes chants, but he's not standing at the top of the rope like he normally does to lead the yes chants. That I'm keeping an eye out for. I still think this could be a big ploy by Daniel Bryan to get the fans to buy in. That, oh, well, we forgot about the storyline. Yeah, it's been a while now. You know, I think you're actually on Roman's side, to just be swerved into Daniel Bryan was the mastermind behind the whole thing of Roman Reigns getting almost killed. I mean, so I still think that's a possibility outside of the, you know, most people don't believe me, but I think it could be. I just don't know where this is going, so I'm not down on it. I'm not up on it. I'm just kind of like, they're teaming and they're kind of getting along. Cool, I guess. That, I mean, I don't know what else to make of it.
Has been bad or whatever, but I haven't really put that much thought into it. I did just read today that Rowan and Harper are broken up again. Oh, and no, that no. Somebody is going somewhere, because Harper put out like a tweet. So while I would like to believe your theory, I think they're just going to forget about everything, and they don't really know what they're doing right now, because that part of the equation doesn't seem to be a thing anymore. I could be wrong, though, but usually right about this. They're just going to act like it didn't happen, and Daniel Bryan is going to be a face going forward, but not like full on face, because they don't know what to do with him. They just put Roman and Daniel Bryan together for whatever's sake. Hopefully there is a long-term burn on this, and Daniel Bryan's like, you're the reason why I got screwed in the first place. But I don't have enough faith. Batter blowing out the side of Otis's mouth, Matt.
No, stop.
I can't like even like fantasy book and like have like confidence in something that he'll say, because I said like a couple cool things a couple weeks ago and none of it panned out because I just don't. And then I got batter coming out of Otis's cheeks on Friday Night SmackDown, and I'm like, yeah, this is cool. This I'm like, put on some match in a second.
And the thing is that, you know, it is one man only that finds this funny, and he's probably laughing. He's probably got his headset back on backstage in gorilla position, sitting there knee slapping, laughing like, oh my God, look at this. He's got a batter running down his face. I mean, like, you can hear it and see it. Who does he think is laughing at this? Even kids. I mean, kids would probably like be like, I don't get it. Like, why? That's gross, Mom. Like, I mean, I don't understand this. Like, this not. There's no audience. There's no target audience for that whatsoever.
It's like, oh God, I can't even form words. There is no audience for it. It's the same thing with like what you're saying. He's trying to think that like maybe kids think this is funny, but then you're putting Lana and Bobby Lashley, I keep going back to this because it was bothering me so much, together on screen doing what they're doing. So I don't know what audience. I think he's just playing a show in his head for himself. I really think that Mr. McMahon, Vince, I love you, but I think that like he's gonna end up in a home. Like, have you seen him lately? He doesn't look so good.
He doesn't
look good at all. So I'm not wishing anything. I'm just saying, like, I don't think that like he's as about his wits as everybody thinks he is. I think he's just in a routine and he's doing his routine, but he's probably off. I don't know.
I mean, look, Vince McMahon can try to defy death all he wants. I mean, he is a guy that you can actually imagine, if there's anybody in the human race that would ever who would ever actually beat death and just live forever, it would be Vince McMahon. I mean,
my mother.
Yeah, or your mom.
Sorry. Okay.
No, that's all right. So we put your mom and Vince McMahon up there as people that actually have a shot at somehow avoiding death. And Vince McMahon, until his dying day, will be at the top of the food chain when it comes to creative on TV. The problem is, as age catches up to you, and it is with Vince, and you can see it, as you said, you look at him and you go, ugh. Like, even the way he talks, and he, like, you remember the way he was back in the 90s, and when he, you know, even 2000s, mid-2000s, he was very sharp. He was very witty on the mic. Like, he didn't stumble. He was very there. Now you see him, and whenever he has a segment backstage in the ring, it's not the same Vince. It just, he's missing something that the old Vince had. And it's Father Time, I think, that is just catching up with him. He stumbles a lot. A lot of times he doesn't make sense. He doesn't have the conviction in his voice that he does, or he did. So, yeah, all around, Vince is deteriorating just because we're human. So, at least most of us.
Yeah, except my mom.
Your mom, yeah.
Thank you for setting up that punchline for me.
No. So, you know, this was all pre-planned. We thought about this beforehand, and I just interjected your punchline. So, I don't know. So, I really went through every bullet on my list, and I really didn't think it was going to be this big of a ranting show. So
get it out. Cleanse the soul.
You've sparked something in me that
I'm just, I don't. It wasn't good. It hasn't been a good 2 weeks. Like, I always leave it on because I'm always running around doing stuff. But I was on my couch last night doing homework, and I was just like, I can't even not pay attention to it. And I turned it off. And it takes a lot for me to do that.
When you saw Otis with the pancake,
it wasn't actually Otis. I said I was turning it off after that. It was when Hogan came on my screen. And Hogan started cutting a promo. Hogan, yes. And I was like, nope. And I turned it off. I was like, I don't care about Crown Jewel, and I definitely do not care about.
Oh, come on. He was live from Clearwater at Hogan's Beach Shop. I mean, you didn't care? Come on.
Oh, God, I hate him so much.
Well, he said, what's going to make you not like him even more is that he said he could actually have one more match.
He's been trying to have one more match for like the last 15 years.
Nobody wants to. I'm as big of a name as Hulk Hogan is, and yet, if you don't like him personally, whatever, and like, I understand why a lot of people don't. But the thing is, you can't deny the fact that he is the biggest thing to ever happen to wrestling. I would say even bigger than Austin, even bigger than Rock. I would really say, I mean, he transformed.
He planted it. He created it. He's like, on the Mount Rushmore. I'm never, ever going to deny that. I'm never going to deny that about Hulk Hogan.
In terms of longevity, no one burned hotter than Stone Cold. Stone Cold was the hottest ever to burn. But in terms of longevity, Hulk Hogan was there much longer in terms of how long he was on top than Stone Cold was.
The same schedule.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a totally different time. But Hogan, regardless of what you think of him, the fact is he transformed the business. He just did. But I don't. Regardless of that, I do not want to see him in a match. Like, I don't want to see him drop a leg drop. I don't want to see him do anything.
Does anybody remember? Like, I was thinking about this. I always think about this every time he pulls stuff like this. A couple years ago, he was like, maybe like 5-6 years ago, he was like trying to challenge Austin the one more match on like Twitter. Yes. And he was being a dick about it. I'm not going to be like, whatever. He was just being Hogan, you know? And like Stone Cold's like, yeah, whatever, man. Like Stone Cold's like, I'm not wasting my one match on you. Like the guy's got two plastic hips. Like, and I just don't understand. Like he already like did enough damage to the business by like running WCW and TNA into the ground, more so WCW, because he didn't want to put over, you know, younger talent, and they all jumped to WWE, and that's how everything went, and that's history. But it's just, like, why are you still bringing this up? Like, and like him going after Austin a couple years ago, which is why I found it funny, like, when they did that whole thing recently together, it's just like he knows that Austin's better than him, and it bothers him. You know, like, because Austin, like, retired and just kind of went away. And he's there, but he's not, like, trying to still wrestle at, like, 65 years old. Like, Austin's like, yeah, all right, I'm done. And that's it. And that's why he's the greatest of all time. Ric Flair called him the greatest of all time.
And Austin says Ric Flair is the greatest of all time. Yes. I mean, so they're both patting each other on the back, but deservedly so. I mean, you can make a case for both guys. Everyone knows my favorite of all time is Stone Cold. I mean, that's not an interesting pick. It's not the most creative pick. It just is what it is. I mean, he's the one that brought me into wrestling and will make me a fan forever. And I still feel like a 14-year-old boy every single time I see him, like, live in an arena. Like, I scream, you know, like I'm at a Backstreet Boys concert at, you know, in 1999. I mean, like, I just do. I love everything about his character. He's believable. Everything. I mean, I could go on a whole two-hour discussion about Austin, but the fact is, back to Hogan, like, yeah, when the whole thing came on Raw, I'm like, does anyone even give a shit, since it's already explicit? It's already explicit, so who cares? Does anyone seriously give a shit about Hogan and Flair in terms of Team Flair to Team Hogan? Nobody does, but the fact is, when you're in Crown Jewel, the prince's money is what is paying for these matches. Like, he's sitting on the throne going, what fantasy matches can I get from WWE? How many zeros can I put on this check to get WWE to give me my fantasy matches? And that's what happens. This Crown Jewel pay-per-view, you can protest it, and a lot of people will. It's still going to happen, but I consider it like kind of a pay-per-view or a Monday Night Raw in the UK. It's like, it happened, but it didn't really happen. Like, nothing really significant happens. It's just kind of like this mega glorified house show of which no consequence comes about. It's just kind of there. I don't really pay attention. It's C pay-per-view for me.
It doesn't matter, like I said earlier in the show. So, but the going back to Hogan, it's like he comes on the screen and I'm just like, I'm out. Nobody cares about the match. It's like they're doing Survivor Series for them. And it's like, do these guys only have VHS tapes of like 80s wrestling? Because everybody they book is like 60 years old. It's just... It grosses me out. Like, I don't like talking about it because it's just, it's such shill work for money. Just for money. It ruins the product. It ruins the thing that wrestling is wrestling. You know?
Well, look what they did with Shawn Michaels. I mean, Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement.
Yep.
Which completely, I'm pretending that didn't happen. And then you add his bald head to it, which made it look even worse. I'm sorry. Like, and he wasn't sharp, and I didn't expect him to be. But to have, I mean, that just clearly shows that the money is what talks here. And I understand he wants a payday. He, you know, supports family. I get it. But for him to come out of retirement for that, I mean, I don't know. Right now, this whole Saudi Arabia deal needs to just go away. Like, and it's not going to. WWE signed a 10-event deal with them, so we're only in, what, event 3 or 4? We've got a long way to go.
It's not going away anytime soon.
All right. Well, I'm going to end it here because I need to. I'm seriously. I might like drink a beer after this or something.
Oh my god.
This has been one for the record books. But I really, I'm hopeful that the next time that we talk, we will have at least maybe half and half. Like, I'm gonna try to set the bar a little higher, and maybe the next time we'll actually have some more positive things to talk about. But it's not like we just harped on the negative. Somebody out there, tell me. Like, please tweet me. Tweet Mary. Like, hey. Well, tell me something that you absolutely love that's going on in WWE beyond Bayley, like, which is really a good thing. I love Bayley's doing right now. Oscar Green Mist. I want somebody to genuinely tell me beyond Tyson Fury's nonsensical crap and Braun Strowman and all this stuff that's going on with all these play pretend wrestlers coming in and getting WWE championship opportunities and Shorty Gable trying to be the, you know, inspirational preacher on a Sunday and all this stuff that just makes me want to, you know, put my head into a wall. So, all right, well, I'm done.
That is a rampage, guys. Stay back. Like,
this is not good. But I'm going to maybe have a meditation session and then I'm going to try to get myself into bed and watch like Breaking Bad or something and zone out from everything.
Have you watched the movie yet? I haven't watched the movie yet. I'm watching it, I think, this week. I'm planning to watch it with somebody, so I've been waiting and I've been avoiding spoilers, but I'm excited about it.
Me too. My wife and I started from season one a month ago, and we're trying to get all the way. We've only got like 4 episodes left till the end of season 5. We've already seen it, but we wanted to catch ourselves up so that when we watch El Camino, we're like, oh my God, that's right, you know? So, yeah, Breaking Bad, to me, the best TV series of all time. I know yours is Buffy, but to me,
Breaking Bad is in my top 5. I don't front on it. I love Breaking Bad. I watched that show before it became big. Everybody jumped on like season 2, season 3, and I was watching it when it premiered. Yeah, it's a great show, and I would have done the same thing, except I just watched it last year through when I went to Santa Fe, and I went to all the Breaking Bad sites, which was cool. No way. So, The Walter White house is like Fort Knox. It's pretty funny, but.
Well, I guess people are trying to throw.
Yeah, there's an angry
the
old lady that lives there now, and she like stares at you when you try to take a picture of the house.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Because people were throwing pizzas up on the roof.
Yep.
So now like it's all fenced off, and there's just this angry lady that stares at you the whole time you're there. But I did it.
Is it Negro or Royal Lane?
I don't remember. No, it's not the name of it, but it's really weird because Albuquerque is very, I tried to explain it to somebody once. It reminded me of New Jersey, like a downtown place like Patterson, that it's bad because like you would go a stretch and it was fine. And then it was like all boarded up. And there's a lot of places like that in New Jersey, if you know where to find them. But the double stretch of lanes looked right, like exactly how it is by my house. It was just double it. So it was a weird experience. Cause when you went to Walter White's house, that's where all the trees were. And it looked like suburbia Jersey, but the rest of it, the city is just a desolate crap shithole.
Might as well just use it while hey, it's explicit at this point.
It's a shithole. It was not a place that you wanted to be out of your car where you didn't know where you were after dusk. So but it was cool, but I rewatched it, so I'm caught up. I'm ready to watch the movie.
Awesome. I know I'm trying to avoid spoilers, so maybe the next time we talk in 3 weeks, I should definitely have watched it.
Yeah, I'll definitely have watched it by then. I've just been putting it off. I would have watched it last week, but I'm waiting, which is very, very patient of me because I watch everything right away. So.
All right. Well, very good. I mean, all right, Mary. Well, listen, this has been this took a really hard right turn very quickly.
It was a great podcast, though. We were talking about everything and laughing. That's always what's good about podcasts, when you're joking around and stuff like that.
No, it is. And it's all good fun. But man, I meant every single word. I mean, I really did. And it's like going out for a night of drinking. You think you're going to take it slow, and the next thing you know, you're doing shots an hour in. It was kind of like that. But hey. I enjoyed it. And before you head out, let everyone know where they can get a hold of you on social media.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at @Mare_Bear or at Papa311 on Instagram. I stumbled because I was going to say I was going to tweet out the question about what was good on this week of WWE wrestling. And you guys could answer me, and my brain got confused because I'm tired.
But that was a good call of having people ask about questions during the show. So maybe we continue to do that.
That's the plan.
Yeah. So we record now on Saturdays. Will probably be the day just because SmackDown's now on Fridays. So tweet at either myself or Mary, and we can get your questions answered. So Mary, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. I feel like this was a therapy session more than a podcast. I hope I could help out.
It was. So, yeah, I hope you, checks in the mail. I know that your hourly rate's pretty high. So, yes, thank you for that. And we will talk again in a few weeks.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Good night.
Bye.